Testing, 1, 2. This is a SEAL program. SEALs are mammals, which means they are covered with hair, warm-blooded, breathe air, and nurse their young. They have successfully adapted to marine life, while at the same time keeping their ties to land. Ribbon seals, range seals, harbor seals, bearded seals, sea lions, and fur seals are found in Alaska. They will all be studied in this program. In 1972, Congress passed what is called the Marine Mammal Protection Act. It put all marine mammals, such as seals, whales, and polar bears, under federal protection. The only people allowed to take marine mammals were Alaska Natives for subsistence or handicraft usage. This ribbon seal is about to slip into the water. Pinnipeds can be found in all of the seas of the world, even in a freshwater lake in Siberia. However, the largest variety and population of these animals are found in coastal Arctic waters and the Bering Sea. A group of seals is called a pod, like these resting sea lions. Alaska Natives use every part of the seal. The meat and fat are eaten. In earlier times, the fat was also burned for heat and light. The skin is used for rugs, clothes, boots, rope, and to cover boats. The ribbon seal is quite rare. They are extremely beautiful with white bands on a dark body. Mature adults often reach a length of 5 feet and will weigh up to 200 pounds. Studies show they can stay underwater for 27 minutes. Life expectancy is usually from 23 to 27 years. Seals were the main part of the diets of most Eskimo groups and Aleuts. The ringed seals live on the thick ice of the north. They are more common in the land-fast ice north of the Bering Strait. They live on the Arctic ice year-round and are important to the coast-dwelling Eskimos because they live closer to the shore. The seal's name comes from the light gray rings that circle the black spots along the back, upper sides, and on the belly. Seals eat mainly fish, like salmon, and shellfish like crab and shrimp. Ringed seals are born silver in color. After the age of 4 to 6 weeks, this baby seal will shed the silver coat and take on the color of the adult seal. The pups are born in large chambered birth lairs that are formed by the rafting of ice into pressure ridges. Birth lairs are ice caves. They stay in the birth lairs until they are weaned, which takes place 5 to 6 weeks after their birth. The Arctic fox, polar bear, and man are these seals' most common predators. The spotted seal is closely related to the harbor seal of southern Alaska, Washington, Oregon, and California. The common name sea dog used by early Europeans is descriptive of the long dog-like snouts of the spotted seal, and also of the growls and other dog-like noises this seal sometimes makes. A typical spotted seal has many small, dark, irregular-shaped spots on a background color of brownish-yellow. The harbor seal is more of an open-water seal than the ringed seal. Harbor seals weigh about 200 pounds and are 5 to 6 feet long. Eskimos say they are the only kind of seal in North Alaska that will attack man. This hunter is wearing a sealskin parka. The bearded seal is the largest hair seal found. Eskimos called them Ugruk, Yupik Eskimo, Muklak. The term Muklak, by accident, has come to mean a certain kind of footwear made from skin. When an earlier explorer came to western Alaska, he asked an Eskimo what he was wearing on his feet. The Eskimo replied, Muklak, meaning it was made from a bearded seal skin. The visitor thought it was a name for all skin boots, and so the name stuck. The Ugruk is highly praised for both its meat and skin for boat covering and rope. Usually an Eskimo will hunt with a partner. The bearded seal is a huge animal. He's more than 6 feet long and can weigh up to 800 pounds, so it takes two men to pull him out of the water. Seals are and were hunted by a variety of methods. In the summer, seals are stalked as they sleep on top of the ice. A seal naps for 20 or 30 seconds, then looks around for danger before napping for another 20 or 30 seconds. A hunter had to sneak to within 25 feet in order to harpoon it. Even today, a hunter with a gun must get very close before shooting the seal. This is because seals sink quickly when killed in the summer. In the winter, they're fat and usually float when dead. Seals have very poor eyesight. Because of this, the hunter would flap his arms like a seal's flippers and lift his head every so often when stalking a seal. Eskimos also attract seals by scratching on the ice. The hunter sometimes used the seal's claws as a lure. They did this by scratching the ice with the claws. It is often used today by ice edge hunters. Seals, you will remember, are mammals and must breathe air. Seals that stay in the Arctic Ocean in the winter must make breathing holes. These holes are punched through thin ice by a seal's head. As the ice gets thicker, seals keep the holes open by gnawing with their teeth and scratching with their claws. Each seal has several holes it keeps open to get air. The hunter would wait with his harpoon ready for the seal to come up to breathe. Alaskan Eskimos often use dogs to find seal dens or breathing holes when they are hidden under the snow. The dog would smell out the hole for the hunter, then the hunter would tie the dog up some distance from the hole so the seal couldn't smell the dog odor when it came up for air. The hunter may have to wait for hours for the seal. In past times, seals were often netted. Eskimos set nets near leads or under breathing holes. Leads are cracks in the ice that open up when the ice shifts. Today, few hunters wait at the breathing holes for seals. If they do, a rifle is used instead of a harpoon. The harpoon was the old weapon used to kill seals. Today, it is still used to retrieve seals or to keep them from sinking once they were shot. The shaft is 6 or 7 feet long. The head was made of ivory or stone, but are now usually made of steel. The head is usually attached, so it comes off when the animal is struck. A line is attached to the head and also through a loop on the shaft so it isn't lost. Eskimos called these small boats kayaks. The Aleuts used a similar boat called a bedarka. They were often used for seal hunting. They were typically long, narrow, low-sided craft which were pointed at both ends. They were usually a single-man boat. The framework was of wood and was covered with V-haired rings or bearded seal skins. Umiaks are large, light, open boats, yet they could carry 20 to 30 people. Sometimes seals would be harpooned while swimming in the water. Other times, the umiak was used to get out the floating ice cakes that had seals on them. Traditionally, when a seal was killed, a few drops of water was poured into its mouth and the seal's bones would be returned to the sea unbroken. This belief was that animals were happy to be killed for food as long as they were treated right. If treated right, they would tell other living seals who would also give up their life. Sea lions and fur seals are both eared seals. The other seals have no ears on the outside of their body. Eared seals can turn their rear flipper forward and then walk on all four flippers. The other seals pull themselves along on their belly with strong stomach muscles. Each spring, fur seals migrate from along the coast of California to the Pribilof Islands of Alaska. They're escorted to the island by the U.S. Coast Guard to protect them. A fishery service manager and a scientist travel to the Pribilof Islands each year to supervise the harvest of the fur seals and to carry out biological research on these animals. The big male fur seals are called bulls. They arrive first in May. They come ashore and find a piece of beach they will defend as their territory. In early July, the females, called cows, arrive. Each big bull tries to get as many cows in his group as he can. Vicious fights take place. Males usually are not strong enough to hold a territory until they are 10 years old. Remember, the fur seals are different from the hair seals. Shortly after arrival, the female fur seals give birth to a young seal called a pup. A few days later, they mate again and will carry the baby for 12 months. The mothers divide their time between eating at sea and nursing their pups. The mothers find their own pups by its odor and cry. Today, the fur seals are managed like a farm. These platforms go right through the rookery, the name given to the calving and breeding grounds. These young males, called bachelors, are being herded to the other side of the island for butchering. Each year, the number of seals is counted, and only those three-year-old males that aren't going to be needed for breeding are killed. These young males live apart from the rest of the herd. Each year, 40 to 60,000 three-year-old bachelors are harvested by the Aleuts, living on St. George and St. Paul Islands. These barrels are full of fur seal hides from St. Paul Island. There are 85 hides in each barrel. There are more ways than one to skin a seal. One way is to split it from head to tail. The meat and blubber are cut into pieces and divided between the hunters. This bearded seal is being cut into 7 or 8 circular pieces. Then a blade is put between the underlying fat and the skin, and then stripped off along the body. Once these large bands of skin have been pulled off the seal, they are cut into strips to make the thin rope called babiche. Babiche is used to make dog harnesses and harpoon lines. Today it is used to bind dog sleds together. These stakes are used for stretching seal skins. The skins are staked with their fur side down to dry in the sun. The skin of a bearded seal is so thick that it can stand much wear and tear but still remain pliable and waterproof. The Eskimos butcher the animals quickly. Then the meat and fat are packed into the boat. The meat can be hidden along the shore where a hill of stones is raised as a landmark. This reserve of food will be used during the winter trapping season. All parts of the animal are saved, except the liver, which is so high in vitamin A that it is poisonous. The stomach was used as a carry case or float, the tendons as thread or line, and the fat as fuel. Seal skin or stomach is stretched tightly over a round frame and used as a drum for the Eskimo ceremonies. The skin of the seal is important to the Eskimo. Clothing such as boots, parkas, and rugs are made from the skin. The intestines were used to store food, also for windows and rain gear. Floats were also made out of the bladder or stomach. The bladder or stomach could also be used for holding seal oil, water, or any other type of liquid. However, these floats were made from the entire seal hide. Bristles from the bearded seal were used as ornaments to decorate face masks and also as toothpicks. The hunters are ready to set off again. The boat is supplied with guns, harpoons, and floats. This concludes this presentation on the seals of Alaska. Now the Sungnak script. Sungnak is located on the Kobuk River about 200 miles east of Kotzebue. The southern edge of the Brooks Range begins just north of the village and can be seen in this photo taken from the village. Sungnak can be reached only by air for most of the year. This twin otter flies to Sungnak from Kotzebue 3 days a week. In the summer, barges also travel up the Kobuk River from Kotzebue delivering supplies. Sungnak is built along a high bank on the north side of the river. Many houses were built along the bottom of the bank. Sometimes these houses would be flooded in the spring. Today, new houses have been built on the top of the bank. This is one of the newer homes on top of the hill. Notice the wires fastened to the stovepipe to keep it from blowing away in the fierce winds that often hit here. Thick stands of spruce and birch line the rivers, but the rest of the area is tundra. Rich deposits of jade are found near Sungnak, and this log building used to be a jade shop where jewelry was made. Caribou leggings used for making muckluks are drying on the Arctic entry. Leggings are the skin from the lower legs of caribou. Dog teams are still common in Chungnyak, with most families owning at least a small one for their children. These boys might be out ptarmigan hunting or just going for a run. Although dog teams are common, snow machines are used by most of the Eskimos for much of their work, such as trapping, hauling wood, or going to the airport or traveling. Even today, the Kobuk River people depend on hunting and fishing for much of their food. Most people buy their nets now, but a few, like Margaret Sheldon, still make their own. Net making is a real art and takes a lot of time. During September, many families still go 50 or more miles upriver to traditional fishing camps. Here they catch sea fish, salmon, and whitefish for their winter food supply and dog food. These salmon are being dried. Notice the way they are cut so they will dry faster. The smoke from the fire is used mainly to keep flies away, but also helps to dry the fish. Caribou is the main land animal used by the Eskimos at Chungnyak. The meat is delicious, and the hides are used for parkas and sleeping robes. The leggings are made into mukluks, and the horns are used for handles on tools. Moose is an important source of meat also. Barbara McManus, Bernice Custer, and Vera Douglas are butchering one here. The roots on the bottom left-hand side of the picture are mushroom or Eskimo potatoes. Vera Douglas has found where a mouse has stored these roots for winter. When she takes them for her own food, she will leave something else, like an apple, for the mouse to eat. Not only are fish caught in summer and fall with nets, but also through the ice. Josephine Woods has just pulled out a nice fat grayling. Long before they got steel, the Eskimos made knives like these, called ulus, out of rock or bone. Today, the ulu, traditionally a woman's knife, is made from old saw blades with a caribou antler handle. The other tool is an itun, used for scraping hides. Vera Douglas is skinning a ring seal with an ulu. Since Kobuk is over 150 miles from the ocean, the people have to trade for seals or buy them. They are usually obtained from Kotzebue or Kivalina. Edna Comack is using the itun seen earlier to scrape this caribou hide for a beautiful parka. The women of Chungnyak still make much of their own clothing. Josephine Woods models her colorful cuspuck here. The cuspuck is a pullover dress worn like an outer jacket. It usually has a hood with a ruff, like this one, of wolverine fur. From left to right, we first see Josephine Douglas with her wolverine-trimmed cuspuck. Josephine Woods is wearing a parka trimmed with wolverine and wolf fur. Bertha Sheldon is wearing a colorful wolverine-trimmed cuspuck and caribou mukluks. Joan and Hannah Comack proudly display their new cuspucks they made in home economics class at school. Many different types of mukluks are made and worn in the village. These are spring mukluks. The bottoms are bearded seal with moose hide tops and beaver trim with caribou ties. These mukluks also have bearded seal bottoms. Bearded seal hide is very stiff and must be shaped with pliers. It is not very warm, but is waterproof, and is used in early winter and spring when the snow is wet. The upper portion of the mukluk will be added later. This pair of mukluks is made from seal and decorated with a design on cowhide. The beaver parka behind the mukluks has beadwork trim and a wolverine fringe on it. School was first held in Chungnyak in 1905. A large BIA school was built in the 1930s. Then a few years ago, the state took over the schools and shipped up these portable trailer units. Today, they are used as houses for teachers, as Chungnyak has a new school for grades 1 through 12. School in Chungnyak is much like school in Fairbanks. Here, Damaris Richmond conducts a class in science. Without a dime store to buy a costume from, this young lady created an excellent one using a paper plate for a mask and old fur garments for clothes. And Christmas programs, too, are part of Jungnet. Here, Santa and Mrs. Claus are surrounded by their reindeer. This ends the slideshow on Jungnet, a nice place to live. Now the slide presentation on walrus. These animals are Pacific walrus. The walrus is the largest member of a group of sea mammals, including seals and sea lions, which are known as pinnipeds. The word pinniped means a fin plus a foot, referring to the heavy rear fin which can be turned forward so the animal can walk on land. The walrus is a seal-like animal with a thick, heavy neck and a broad, short muzzle covered with heavy bristles. The males, known as bulls, weigh up to 2 tons. The females, known as cows, sometimes weigh more than a ton. Both bulls and cows have tusks, which are nothing more than overgrown teeth. Walrus calves are usually born during the summer migration at the end of April or the beginning of May. A calf is born on the ice rather than in the water. It will remain with its mother up to 2.5 years. Walrus calves can swim at birth, but do not have the warm, thick fur coat that seal pups do, so they must depend on the cow for warmth as well as protection. A walrus cow will not abandon her injured or trapped calf. A cow was seen by a group of 12 men hacking at an ice fall with her tusks. When the men approached the cow, she chased them short distances but always returned to hack at the ice. After some time, the men saw her break through the ice fall, releasing her calf, who had fallen into a crevasse and become trapped. A walrus cow will have a calf every year when she's in her prime. An older cow will calve less often. The cows with newborn calves and those that are about to give birth gather together to form nursery herds. These nursery herds are usually the largest group of walrus and the first to migrate north each spring. The walrus herds migrate north each spring with the trailing edge of the ice pack. During the summer months, they are found in the Bering Straits, following the ice as it moves up the northern coastline. In the fall, they move south with the ice. Many walrus are found around St. Lawrence Island in the winter. The herds will often gather on a large ice pan which is drifting in the direction of the migration. They will sleep and relax while they get a free ride. Some large groups will post sentries or guards around the ice floe to warn them of approaching danger. Walrus feed mainly on bottom-dwelling creatures, such as clams. These clams are found along the rich Bering Chukchi platform, a fairly shallow shelf along the coast of Alaska. Walrus also eat snails, crabs, shrimp, worms, and seals. These foods are usually found by brushing the sea bottom with their broad, flat muzzle. The location of their food source keeps the walrus close to the coast at all times. Look at the long tusks on this animal. The tusks are used for climbing onto ice floes and land, for fighting, and emergencies of various kinds. A walrus will display his tusks when disturbed in an attempt to frighten whatever bothers him. This walrus has done just that, lifting his head high to show the length of his tusks in a threatening gesture. The walrus tusks continue to grow throughout the life of the animal, however daily use wears them down. The walrus ivory is one of the greatest treasures of the North. The ivory was traditionally used to make tools and weapons, but it is seldom kept for these purposes today. Most of the walrus ivory harvested is carved by villagers using traditional tools, such as this mouth bow. The carved ivory can be sold to tourists and provide some money for the artist. Until the summer of 1979, walrus ivory was often sold in a raw state. With the return of walrus management to the federal government in the fall of 1979, it became illegal for raw ivory to be sold to non-natives. In the villages along the Bering Strait, the walrus watch begins in early spring. Many of the village men will watch the ice packs whenever they can. The walrus are hunted during the northward migration as the ice pack moves north past the villages. The hunters try to spot the herds south of the village, so the moving ice will carry them closer to the village with their catch. If they kill the walrus north of the village, the heavily loaded boats would have to come back against the current. When a herd is sighted, the men quickly load the umiaks and push off. Long ago, walrus were killed with harpoons and lances. Today, motors and guns are used, but walrus hunting is still dangerous. Sometimes walrus even attack the boats or the ice leads close, stranding the men far from shore. A sleeping herd can often be approached without disturbing the walrus, though. Walrus do not fear men or umiaks if they are not noisy. The boat's motors are turned off and the boat is allowed to glide up against the ice. Each hunter in the boat has chosen a big tusker and the shooting begins. Up to this point, the walrus may not have even moved. The hunters shoot to kill, for any wounded animal may get off the ice and will sink immediately. When all of the living walrus are off the ice pan, the hunters hurriedly pull the boats from the water so they can catch those that are sliding into the water and anchor them to another carcass or a chunk of ice. About half the walrus shot are lost because they slide off the ice and sink. Sometimes, other walrus may even push the dead and wounded into the water in an attempt to save them. When all the walrus have been secured, the hunters sit down to sharpen the knives and axes. One of them may start a fire in a camp stove and cook some meat, for the butchering takes a long time and the men will be hungry. Two or three men usually work together on one walrus. Occasionally, the walrus that were not shot are reluctant to leave the area of the ice pan. The boats may be pulled onto the ice pan quickly, for these animals may attack if the umiaks are left in the water. Sometimes, they will stay near, calling to the wounded animals, trying to get them into the water. If they stay long, the Eskimos will try to frighten them away. These animals are seldom shot unless they come close enough to the ice pan to be secured with a harpoon. When the butchering is done, the boats are loaded. Most umiaks will hold three walrus inside, with one or two towed behind. In order to tow the walrus, a small hole is cut in the hide. Air is blown into this hole until the body floats. The hole is plugged, and the animal is tied to the back of the boat with a line around the head and under the tusks. The tusks, flippers, skin, and meat are the most important parts of the load. Bones may be thrown overboard if the load is too heavy. The skins of the walrus have many uses. Walrus calf hides are split into strips to make a strong rope. The hides of cows are stretched and dried. These hides may be used to cover the umiak frames, making a strong, flexible boat. The hides of the walrus bulls are not used for these purposes because they are usually scarred from many battles. When the hunters return, it's time to divide the catch. The ivory goes to the owner of the boat. The meat and strips of skin and blubber, called cock, are laid out in equal piles. The piles may be divided among the hunters or divided among all the villagers, depending upon the village custom. The people usually eat only the cock, heart, liver, and flippers. The rest of the meat is generally saved for dog food. Most of the meat of the walrus calf is considered excellent eating. This Eskimo drum is made of bone, wood, and walrus stomach. Drums like this are used when the people are singing and dancing. They are played by striking a long, flexible stick against the bottom edges of the drum frame. The stick bends in the middle, hitting the walrus stomach stretched on the frame. This waterproof parka is made from the intestines of the walrus. The seams are sewn with sinew, which swells when wet, closing the seams tight. These parkas were worn when hunting or butchering sea mammals. As you have learned in this presentation, walrus are among the largest sea mammals with an involved social order. Walrus have been a major source of food for the coastal Eskimos of Alaska for centuries.